We're blowing the doors wide open on Inside Wealth right here on Talk 910 AM, KNEW, San Francisco. And now it's time for our winning business segment, and it's winning business because nobody has to lose. And with us today is Dr. Hazel Henderson. She's the author of Ethical Markets, Growing the Green Economy, co-produced and founded the TV series of the same name, Ethical Markets, futurist, economist, brilliant woman, really plugged in. Hazel, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure, as always, Stu. So I want to talk about another way that we can help end the recession and grow the new green economy. And, of course, a lot of people have been talking about reforming Wall Street. But I have some additional ideas, and they're kind of for a little bit for insiders, but everybody ought to know about it. And when you go and turn on those TV shows, you know, you always have the commentators are talking about these various asset classes, you know, and how you should allocate your securities between, say, energy and retail and defense, you know, and health and transportation. You know what I'm talking about, industrials, et cetera. And the problem with that is that basically all of those are obsolete, you might say fossilized, asset allocation categories. And what we really need now is a new category called the sustainability sector, where it would make all of these rapidly growing green companies more visible, whether they're in renewable energy or clean fuels or organic foods or whatever, you know, because what happens now, these are all small companies, and so therefore there's a lot of asset managers of these big pension funds and whatever are unable to invest in these little companies anyway. But if they were all put together in a sustainability sector, it would make them a lot more visible, and it would make it a lot easier for people to buy an index like that, give these companies much more visibility, and help them get the investment and the capital that they need to grow faster. So what do you think?
I love the idea. I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I agree with you completely that a number of the individual companies may be a little too illiquid. Or too small for some large institutions to invest in.
Yeah.
But that also begs the next question of, even when you pool them, what in aggregate do you think would be the valuation of that basket? And would, if you were to get the attention of, let's say, a CalPERS, you know, the state retirement system here, or some of the other major foundations and institutions and pension plans to get involved in this sector, you know, how much room is there for them to play in it? How big do you think this index would be?
Well, it would be huge, really, because if you look now, there are about six different clean tech indexes. Many of them we have on our website, and a lot of those are, you know, up in the $1 billion total valuation, because these green sectors, particularly wind energy and solar, are growing worldwide. I mean, the only thing, for example, that's holding back wind power companies right now is the backlog of orders to make those turbine blades. I mean, we're in these kind of situations. Or you've got, in the solar energy industry, you've got a shortage of silicon. And this is creating whole new industry in the state of Michigan. And Michigan is now talking about it is going to be in the solar age rather than the automobile industry, because they are building factories to produce the silicon. So there's a lot of these kind of supply bottlenecks at the moment, but it all attests to the fact how quickly all of these sectors are growing. And then you add to that the $2.3 trillion in assets, which is invested in socially responsible mutual funds. And so actually, I mean, I haven't really done a full kind of analysis of how much there would be in this basket, but it really would be huge. And even if a lot of those asset managers, like at CalPERS, felt, okay, you know, we can't, because of our rules, invest in some of these companies, most of them do have a venture capital pocket, where they can begin investing in some of the startups. And, of course, that's where the real payoff comes. I mean, for example, I'm a compulsive startup investor. And I have a great deal of fun because, you know, I've been in this sector for so long that I feel fairly confident about going into some of these companies. And so really, you know, this is how we need to grow this economy much faster, because this is where the new jobs are going to come from. This is where the new Googles and the new Microsofts are all lurking, waiting to be discovered.
And are these funds being created right now, to your knowledge, on the VC side? Yeah, because I know there's a lot of money from some a lot of the top-tier VCs are looking at clean tech and have raised a lot of money for it.
Oh, yes, absolutely. You know, like Kleiner Perkins, the big one there, and Sand Hill Road in Palo Alto, they are rushing into this whole green area, you know, and they're kind of leading the pack. But there are much further, you know, more pioneering firms like CleanTech, the CleanTech Group that came out of Canada, and people can find that CleanTech Group and what they're recommending on our website. And then there's a whole lot of new market letters now, like green chip stocks, like New Energy News, green buildings, greener IT. At last, all of this is becoming visible. And we really had to wait until we used the internet for this, because the old mainstream financial TV shows still have this fossilized asset allocation approach,
right?
Because after all, they, you know, they are funded by all of the fossil fuel age companies.
Well, it's time to if we don't change, we'll become fossils ourselves. I think that's the bottom line here.
Sure is.
Hazel, I want to thank you again for showing up so beautifully. Thank you for your
thank
wisdom.
Thank you so much, Stuart. All the best now.
Likewise. Bye bye. So here we are. You know, this is another indication of where rubber can hit the road, where Hazel is talking so clearly about how we can begin to create structures to shift our investments on a macro scale with some of these major public institutions and the largest institutional investors to invest in ways that can make our country more sustainable, more independent from foreign oil, and, you know, make our air cleaner and employ more people and keep our money more domestically circulating. All of that is fantastic on the macro sense. What can you do on the micro sense? Well, one, you could certainly invest in some of these companies. You can go to Hazel's site. She's got great information there at ethicalmarkets.com, or just come to our website at insidewealth.net. That's insidewealth.net. And we always have a link to Hazel. But there's something else you can do by coming to our website, because we have this thing called the Preferral Network, where even on the micro scale, we have relationships with companies who conduct themselves in ways that are truly values-based. And actually, just like Mike Hannigan's company, he's not one of them, but he would certainly qualify. In fact, I'll talk to him about qualifying even more in another conversation with Give Something Back. But these are companies like Hutch Ashew and Pillar Financial, or John Menke and Menke & Associates, where they have their principles of inside wealth, their dedication to excellence, full communication and transparency, and doing their absolute best to maintain a relationship over time. So it's not just about maximizing the transaction and on to the next one, which is the way so many other businesses, those fossilized businesses, if you want to call it that in Hazel's lexicon, how they operate. So come to our website at insidewealth.net and find out and get to meet some of the people who actually have the rubber hit the road. It's called our Preferral Network, because we prefer it, we prefer them, and we're referring them. So there you go. You know, as we wind up this show today of Inside Wealth, there's a theme here, because these times, they are a-changing, you know, as another Zimmerman would have said. You know, these times, they are a-changing. And the old ways of doing business are not necessarily sustainable. The way of maximizing shareholder value exclusively and not focusing on the other stakeholders, for example. And this is not unique to Mike Hannigan over at Give Something Back. Okay, there are a number of other business models, but of course, Give Something Back has now donated over $4 million to nonprofit companies, which they feel, and a lot of them are community-based, so that's one of the stakeholders. The community is one of the stakeholders. Their employees, where they make sure to give them the health benefits. It may cost a little bit, but you know what? It also makes for a vibrant workforce. It makes for a sustainable company that is dedicated and motivated to doing their best, and frequently it's that attitude that builds the relationship through which money flows. And it's not just about, as Mike pointed out, making $1.6 billion in profits as they're cutting employees' health care benefits. You know, squeezing a little more blood out of the stone because they're viewing their investors as more important stakeholders than their employees, when in fact there needs to be a balance. And that's what Mike brings to the table, and he's certainly one great example of doing good and doing well and not having to personally maximize his own wallet for the sake of being not just a great corporate citizen, but being a global citizen and doing his best to improve the quality of life around the planet and even in the community. Let's just take it more locally. By helping to improve the lives of people who are less fortunate in one way or another. And you know, as we come full circle here and we take a look from the bowl of stew and Bear Stearns and the bear market and the bear truth, if we really take a look at what's underlying all of this, where we have been so conditioned to focus our quality of life based on our quantities in life. We've been so conditioned to take a look at our bank account and the car we drive and the bling we have and measure ourselves versus everybody else. That's one of the fossilized ways that is going away. There's a new way, a new earth, to use Eckhart Tolle's phrase, which indicates, by the way, that with Oprah's blessing and Oprah's rolling up her sleeves to get involved, you know, millions of people are becoming exposed to his work, which is really about shedding the ego, which may sound fancy and everything. It may sound kind of scary because we're all kind of attached to our egos in some way. A lot of us think that's actually who we are, you know. But that millions of people are looking beyond the traditional definitions of success, where maybe there isn't the recipe. Like Mike Hannigan, we asked him what his recipe for success is. He really doesn't have one, which is okay. Maybe it's no different than Michelangelo asking, how did you create David? You know, that great statue. He goes, well, I just took away everything that wasn't David. So I'm asking you to take away everything that isn't your essence for a moment, so you can focus on your inside wealth and know a truth of your own divinity, a truth of your interconnection with everybody around you, and then frankly, all that is. And I know we're not used to focusing on life that way. And I know we're not used to focusing on our wealth as being a quality of life, or as being a joy for living and being in these bodies, and instead focusing on how much money do I have? How many people out there respect me for what I've accomplished or achieved? Rarely, instead of how much love do I have around me? And how about the quality of my relationships? You know, how good do they feel? And how good do I feel inside my body? We're just not accustomed to looking at it that way. Well, we're at this point right now in the economy where it's possible the whole structure is fossilized. That is a possibility. And everything we think is concrete or tangible, whether it's a World Trade Center building or the tangible book value of Bear Stearns, can go just like that. And we may very well be in a circumstance where the emperor has no clothes as being the ultimate bear truth. So if we go into where that ultimate bare truth is, the one thing we do have is the blessing to be alive, I'm inviting you to really enjoy it. Till next week, invest in yourself, your passions, your purpose, and your planet.
Join us again same time next week on Talk 910 KNEW. And be sure to visit our website at InsideWealth.net. Subscribe to our podcast, blog, or learn more about Inside Wealth with Stu Zimmerman. Thanks for listening. Talk 910 KNEW.